Compelling contemporary dance, soul-stirring soundscapes and unique Australian stories. Those are just some of the words used to describe the work of the Bangarra Dance Theatre. Someone who's played a crucial role to the success of Bangarra is its artistic director, Stephen Page. Stephen was appointed to the role in 1991 and has since worked on a number of critically acclaimed projects and events, including directing the Indigenous sections of the 2000 Sydney Olympic Games. Stephen's passion for storytelling has seen him receive a number of accolades, including the 2017 Australia Council Dance Award for significant contributions to the cultural and artistic fabric of the nation. His latest work, Dark Emu, draws inspiration from Uncle Bruce Pascoe's award-winning book, Dark Emu, Black Seeds, Agriculture or Accident. The book challenges the idea Indigenous Australians led a hunter-gatherer lifestyle prior to European colonisation. Stephen, thanks for joining me on Speaking Out this evening.
Oh, my pleasure, Larissa.
I should say we go back a long way, including when I was chair of Bangarra.
That's right.
So I have disclosed that now. That disclosure is out there. Now, your latest project, as I said, sees you adopt Bruce Pascoe's award-winning book, a book that's changed a lot of people's thinking. What are some of the ideas in his work that appealed to you?
Look, I think for me, I suppose with this book and it being around, say, for the last 4 years, obviously, a lot of people talking about it. And I think I've been conscious constantly of, I suppose, Aboriginal land management. Like, it crosses through a lot of themes, you know, a lot of our different things that we do with our work, whether it's land and form. And I always know that land, people, and creation stories are connected. So I was going to say it was a little bit of an accident, me being approached to do this, because I saw Bruce at the Writers' Festival last year when I was doing Bennelong, yeah. And anyway, I got into Bennelong, and then he sort of said, oh, well, maybe you should do a dance response to this book. So I had to declare to him that I am a shocker reader. Like, I'll last a chapter, and then if I put it down and you said to me, what can you remember? I wouldn't be able to tell you. But for some reason, I got through chapter by chapter, and I started working with Alana Valentine, who is a playwright and dramaturg, and she helped me on Bennelong, just sort of drawing accounts together. So we just looked at, you know, little passages from agriculture and aquaculture and parts of the irrigation, the architectural, and I suppose the philosophy balanced with the ignorance of, and what Bruce was saying about the frustration of how can we ignore, and the fact that I think what fascinated me more was probably the sub-stories about the practices. So anyway, look, we can't do the whole book, otherwise we'd probably be there from sunset to dawn. And yeah, so we just try to shape parts or passages from agriculture and the aquaculture stories. A lot of the stories down to do with the Yuin nation as well, and just the reciprocating of land and creature and seasons. And that was always interesting to me as well. I don't really want to give too much away. I mean, it's not like a film, you know, and I just hope people don't come along and go, oh, the dance response is nothing like the book. And I think it's quite challenging as well, because the book can be wonderfully static in a way. And so for me, it was just to try to get in there and find the emotion and the spirit.
Mm. I think most people would assume that a dance interpretation would take things from the book in parts. But I guess you think of works you've done like Bennelong, which have more of a narrative.
That's correct.
And people could kind of follow a story. This will, I assume, will be much more impressionistic. So for you, how do you pull out the little bits that kind of will be the kernel of what you want to put into the performance?
I think that was the wonderful, well, even I got frustrated in the beginning because I thought, oh, this is a tricky one. This is a real challenging one. And you're right with Bennelong. I mean, we are following a narrative. We're following a character. We're following a human spirit. So what I tried to do, the spirit for me in the whole arc of the story is the Bayami. So in the beginning of the book, he talks about the creator. And we all have a creator in our songlines and our creation stories. And obviously the Bayami of the southeast coast is quite familiar. The reflection of the emu in the negative spaces in the Milky Way. And that really made me look at this perspective. Our eyes see things different, you know. I mean, non-Indigenous, other people will look at the constellation and look into the sky and look at joining the dots of our wonderful stardust blanket of stars. And then to look into the negative spaces in the Milky Way, and you form with your imagination this imprint of this creature of the dark emu. And so for me, it was going even further past the dark emu and going into the spirit of what that is. And that is the creation. That is the creator. And I love the idea of sky and land, the perspective of looking from sky to land and land to sky. So the first 7 minutes and the last 7 minutes of the work, we only created the beginning, not the end. We start about creating this, going into the womb of the Bayami, and what is the spirit? What is it that is part of the practices and the relationship with Indigenous people and land? And so we sort of bookend this. And Bayami is in every section. What is the Bayami in the practice of rock formations and fish traps? What's the Bayami in the process of burning off land, which takes over 5 years, and the practice and singing to country and thanking country and then having a relationship with seasons? So for me, I was trying to find the creation philosophy of the Bayami and put that through these accounts, I suppose.
Mm. So my next question really is, when you sort of hear how you've pulled together these thematics from the book and and how you're exploring different aspects of it, what do you hope an audience will take away from Dark Emu?
Before I answer that question, I must say that I actually have three assaults in the work. There's three acts, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. I look at these wonderful passages from agriculture. I look at the Bayami or the spirit in those stories, the practices in those stories. And the dancers aren't really human. They become elements or they become the season. And so it's a lot of body shaping and choreography. And then obviously with the original music and soundscape, the costumes and the setting. The three assaults for me, though, I was thinking, well, okay, we can't introduce the First Fleet coming in. We can't use humans as characters. So the first assault is actually the soundscape of blowflies, because blowflies are not native. They came on cows and they came on the animals and they were introduced. And so through the soundscape of blowflies is the first sense of ignorance to this practice. Another idea is the trodden of hooves and cattle, how they ruin land. We're using sounds of creature just damaging lands that weren't native to here. So, and then the last assault, if it's the assault of spirit, the assault of land, and the assault of people. And the last one's a little bit bleak, because it's about those massacres, that if you wipe out the people who are the carers and the caretakers of land, you've wiped out that knowledge. So for me, it's finding the spirit of the Bayami, having these three salts of ignorance, and then finding these beautiful poetic philosophical practices that are passed down from generation to generation. For me, I suppose, is what the book's done for people that read it. It's just given them an awareness that, why weren't we taught this in history? What sort of country would we be today in the 21st century? Would Sydney be called Eora instead of Sydney? Would our information of land and relationship of sharing that knowledge, would we be a different evolution through the Industrial Revolution? Would, I don't know, I just think of the land's identity today after reading this book and think, oh my God, I feel like I'm creating some Netflix new series of our own sort of Westworld or something. But the sense of just the beauty of those practices, I just hope people, I don't know, just are awakened a little bit about the consciousness of what could have been.
It's true. I guess when I read it too, I think about what could have been, but I also see how much knowledge is in the book that we could still use now. So I kind of feel a bit more hopeful.
I'm totally hopeful. I am totally hopeful. And I think people look at it. And look, the other thing too, I think in Bangarra, especially over this last 7 years, we tend to rely on a lot of information from living language and culture practices, especially in the north, you know. And I think we forget. I remember challenging some of my black relationships in the north, and they would call me the yellow fellow. And I go, wait a minute. You know, this is shocking. Like, you know, you have no idea of how we have to spend the rest of our lives rekindling, reconnecting after an onslaught of massacres and people. Like, you don't have that assimilating destruction that's happened to your generational thing. So it's great now that I feel like this decade especially is, you know, a lot of urban communities really reconnecting, even in language, even this land knowledge. And I think it's so important that those practices are now becoming, you know, relearning and rediscovering. I mean, I just worked on the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony and was with all my Yugambeh nations. You know, we did a story about the five rivers and the totem of the wedge-tailed eagle. All of elders, my aunties and cousins, all over 60 now, going back on country. They're becoming three-year-old children again. They're relearning. And what they're relearning, they're learning about heritage sites. They're learning about women's grounds, men's grounds. And it's, I am so excited about the next 30 years, about all this book has done and what it's given us. It's a sense of empowerment.
Well, speaking of processes that take a long time, Dark Emu will be your 25th work for Bangarra. How does it feel to reach this milestone?
25th. Look, I'm amazed myself that I'm still there half the time. And look, you know, when my brother passed a couple of years ago, I mean, he used to always say to me, you know, when are we retiring? We've got to go back home and do work on country, you know. And And I said, yeah, you know, generations of artists come through the company and they bring something really special and they bring a relationship to their own backyard. I think now we've got a beautiful education program with Rekindling that's run by, you know, retired dancers. It's been so successful the last 4 or 5 years, and that's empowering secondary Indigenous students to how to tell a story through the makeshift of dance, you know, and these different sort of initiatives in the company. It's not just about the mainstream performances, it's not just about creating, it's about all these different initiatives that are really blooming, you know, further education for dancers. My dancers stay with me. They sign on and they're here for life. They're here for 40,000 years. So I've got to work out how do I find the transition once they, you know, they're like athletes. Their bodies break down and then you work out, well, what can they do next? So look, the company, I might say this all the time, but it's just really healthy and blooming. And if I can just stay on and keep curating and directing that energy, yeah, hopefully I'll be there for a while still. Mm.
The company is synonymous with you, which must be...
Hard for my ego to let go. Well, no,
not,
you can
not
say
not
people
that.
Say that to me.
I was thinking more that it's actually quite a burden to have the expectation and the responsibility. So how do you keep your energy and your passion going when, you know, for many people, they would really be quite exhausted by doing what you've done for so long?
I just try to be as honest as I can with myself. I'm probably overly passionate about life. And
can you be overly passionate about life?
I don't know. I'm passionate about all the things I do creatively. And I think a lot of it's to do with how proud and how obsessed I am with my culture and my heritage. It really does make me thrive. And it's things like this book that keeps me going. It's things like seeing young youth come up to me and go, you know, I'm reconnecting to my grandma's story and I really want to be able to tell that through dance. I mean, you know, this wonderful demographic of relationships for me in north, south, east, west of the country. I was going through our archives, which is called Knowledge Ground, and it'll be released by our anniversary next year, 30 years. And it's about us doing an internal sort of webbing within our own environment. And we've realized there's over 120 Indigenous family clans relationships that have inspired our stories over the 30 years. And so I just feel like, you know, it is a big responsibility. And I suppose it's the same with Bruce saying to me, hey, do a dance response to my book. And I was like, okay, uncle, okay, I have a responsibility, don't I? I better make this work, you know. And so for me, it's just, there's something about dance and it's such a huge part of our creative life cycle of what we do. You know, even through traditional ceremony, even when I read Sing Into the Country and Sing Into the Land, and you internally, I walk onto any country and I'll say, Mananjali, Nunako man, thank you for letting me on this country. And you go there and it's this wonderful relationship with land and people. And I think, yeah, it's those relationships that keep me going. And anyway.
Obviously, you can look at your career and it's been quite extraordinary, and you are now the only Indigenous person leading a major performing arts company. You've taken Bangarra from a little company to an internationally renowned company. But for you personally, what do you still want to achieve?
Well, my son, well, he got married last year and I'm broke now after that wedding. Hunter's 25 this year. And Tamika's, she'll be 30 this year. So, you know, they're both married. And my children and look, the family, I just love being around them and they inspire me. And as I said before, the artists in the company keep me going. And look, you know, I had to give up my family personally, you know, my little immediate family, and the kids had to take a back seat because all my energy was involved with Bangarra. And that's what I mean. I had this obsessive energy and I don't know what that is. I mean, is that someone that is wanting to have their fate in life just to lead and to run a company? So I don't know. There's a spirit in Bangarra that keeps pulling at me to keep going. But, you know, look, the company, and whether it's been 110 different families and cultural clans that have entrusted us with their stories, there's been over 240 dancers that have come through and experienced being in the company. My board of directors, my management, like there's been people that have come into the Bangarra channel and who have offered up their energy and spirit because they believe in the spirit and what it's curating and what its vision is. And also its mission and what it does, you know, reconnecting to stories and paying and acknowledging respect to those traditional stories that are still living and breathing, yeah.
So many people say they love Bangarra, black and white. Australians love it.
And it's not for all people either. Like some people go, oh, okay.
No one's ever said that to me, I've
got to say. But I was just thinking, people say that.
You know, people don't realise how much goes on behind the scenes. Yeah. And I guess I've been lucky enough to glimpse that and know actually how much of yourself you really have to do. And you go into a kind of creative cave before the performance. So people don't get to see you. And it really is a personal sacrifice. I know you probably don't think of it that way, but there is a trade-off to bringing those stories. What do you hope your legacy will be?
I suppose, I don't know, maybe I survived those sacrifices, I suppose. Look, the thing for me would be hopefully there's been a great cultural, creative placenta laid down that is strong enough to set up a new forward future creative kinship system. I hope this inspires many Bangaras that want to express story. I suppose the continual practices of creative ceremony, whether it's contemporary, whether it's traditional, and it's going to evolve. When I did the Commonwealth Games, I think the producers from Liverpool said to me, "Oh, this is so personal. Why do you want to do that?" And I thought, look, I don't care if this gets lost in translation. I'm more excited about the process because we had 20 elders who'd never done a ceremony before. They wanted to paint up like Bangarra. They wanted to experience. My brother David wrote a song in language, one of the last songs he did, and it was from that country. You know, 60 Indigenous youth between 14 and 18 got to work with the rekindling team. I think the wonderful sense of curating all those energies together in that sort of ceremony for me, there's nothing more I love than to sort of lead those ceremonies. And, yeah, look, I would just be proud that we're constantly giving breath and energy and spirit into the continuing of the wonderful strength that's in our ceremonial practices. Yeah,
Stephen, thank you so much for coming by this evening and joining me on Speaking Out to talk about your incredible work, your incredible vision and your incredible contribution to the social and cultural fabric of Australian life. You're extraordinary. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Ian.
Stephen Page is the Artistic Director of the Bangarra Dance Theatre, and Dark Emu premieres on June the 14th at the Sydney Opera House before travelling to Canberra, Perth, Brisbane and finishing in Melbourne in September. For more information and your ticketing options, you can visit their website, bangarra.com.au.